Thank you, Pastor. Everybody, praise the Lord. I welcome you to this great GCK turning point. And the Lord will turn your life around. Every area, your personal, private life, your family life, your health, a miracle to turn your life around is coming your way. It will be so in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this global crusade. Thank you for the Alpha location. Thank you for the excitement, expectation of your people. Thank you for all the locations all around the world. We're asking, Lord, from this very first day, there'll be real, definite, remarkable, visible turning point in every life in Jesus' name. And we pray that nothing will stand between anyone and his or her miracle turning point. Confirm it, Lord, in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. A great amen. God bless you. Consider welcoming to the Word of God tonight. As you can, you've heard it already. You've seen it in the handbill. You've seen it in the promo that we gave out. Turning point. And as we look at that turning point, we look at different people in the Word of God. They had a turning point. Your own time has now come today. Tonight, I'm talking to you on a turning point decision. It's in your hand. It's in my hand. It's in our hand that we come and make a decision. A decision that turns life around. A turning point decision that determines destiny. Destiny is involved. Your future is involved. What happens today affects the rest of your life. And what happens today in a turning point decision affects your destiny and your eternity. That's why we titled this a turning point decision that determines destiny. I bring one woman to you in Ruth chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 15. And she said, this is the mother-in-law of Orpah and Ruth. Ruth are taking a decision. Orpah too took a decision. And it was a turning point decision. And so the mother-in-law said, behold, the sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Many people will try to influence you directly, indirectly, verbally. They'll speak to you, or maybe they'll do it in action. They'll tell you, turn this way or turn that way. They're trying to kind of control your destiny. But you are the one to say, I came for this turning point event, turning point crusade, so that I take a decision. And that decision determines my destiny. And so the mother-in-law said, why don't you return and go after your sister-in-law? Look at verse 16. In verse 16, And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. When somebody says, I will go, I will stand, I will move, I will do that decision. And she said, she's made up her mind that where you go, I will go. Understand, she knew that the mother-in-law was going to Zion, was going to the land of promise. And it is through that land she will eventually reach the pleasant everlasting paradise, the pleasant promised land. And so she said, you are going there, I'm going too. She made up her mind, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Now understand, when she said, thy people shall be my people, there was a reason for that. In her own land, Moab, there was no prophet. In her own land, there was no revelation of the word of God. In her own land, there was no evangelist, there was no pastor, teacher. There was only one place at that time that had a prophet that could reveal the mind of God. And that's what made that place important, significant. Not just because of the kind of bread they were eating there, or the kind of water they were drinking there, or the kind of houses they had there. What made that place important is that God dwelt there. God revealed himself there. And God's prophets and God's revelation was there. That's why he said, where thou goest, I will go. And then he said, I will not return from following thee. And where you lodge, there I will lodge. Where the word of God is, where the power of the Lord is, where the revelation of the Lord is, then she said, thy people, the people that know the truth, the people that follow the Almighty God, the people that have totally forsaken all idols. There was no idol in any house, in any abode of any of the children of Israel. And she said, my place is not like that. Every street corner is, there's an idol raised up there. In every house, there is an idol. People are worshiping there. Their family idols. And she said, I'm fed up of following idolatry. Now, she said, your people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And that's the reason she took a decision. And the Lord is calling you to understanding tonight that you will see the decision that determines your future, the decision that determines your destiny. Verse 17, where thou diest, will I die. You're going back to the land of promise. You're going back to the land of light, the light that we need to get us and show us the way to life eternal was in that land. And if you die there, and then from there you go up and you go to heaven, that's where I too, I want to die. I don't want to die in idolatry. I don't want to die in the land of darkness, in the land of confusion, in the land of sinfulness. That's why she said, there I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, And more also, if aught anything but death part thee and I. And then in verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, that her decision was firm, her decision was irreversible, her decision was irrevocable, when she saw that this was not just a superficial decision, it was an in-depth decision, when she saw that she, Ruth, was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. A turning point, decision that determines destiny. We're looking at three things. Number one, personal decision to turn from spiritual darkness. That's what I've been explaining to you. There was darkness in her land. There was darkness and evil. There were atrocities. There were abominations. And she saw that. She said, this spiritual darkness will not swallow me up. And so she had personal decision to turn from that spiritual darkness. Look at number two. Number two, passionate desire to trample severe diseases. Well, the disease has not been mentioned there, but in the land of darkness, there's also disease. In the land of evil, in the land where Satan controlled the minds and the actions of people, various diseases and sicknesses were there. And in that one decision that Ruth took, and in the decision you are taking, there is also the passionate desire, the desire to trample severe diseases under your feet. Today, when you stand, that's when I tell you to stand, you'll be standing on your problem. Yeah. And all those diseases, you'll tread on them. You'll trample on them. And once you make up your mind and you're passionate about that, and nobody but nobody is able to drive you back, then you're going to have victory over every sickness. That amen is low. Over every demon, over every disease, you have victory in Jesus' name. Look at number three. Number three, profound determination to taste the saving dominion. In her past, there's no dominion over self. In her past life, there was no dominion over their speech, because all those people in Moab, whatever came to their mind, they just poured it out. And they poured a lot of acid, poison, from their language in the lives of other people, because they didn't have dominion. And Ruth had observed that the people around her didn't have dominion over sin, over their speech, over their appearance, over their lifestyle. They just copied what the people of the world were doing. And because she saw that, she said, no, I'm not going to stay in this kind of bondage all my life. She wanted, and she desired, and she decided, and she determined she would have dominion, saving dominion, the kind of dominion that comes through salvation. Profound determination to taste the saving dominion. Look at number one. Number one is the personal decision to turn from spiritual darkness. That word personal, that's where the challenge comes. Because most people, they follow the crowd. The crowd is doing something wrong. Majority of people are going the wrong way. And many people do not think, where will this land them? Walking in the way of Moab, treading the path of the Moabites, and going the way of sin, the way of self, and the way of Satan. Many people don't think about, if you travel on this road, where will you get to? Where will you land? No, they just enjoy every step they take. But Ruth made a personal decision. And that's what I'm calling you to today. That you will think of life, think of the past, think of the future, and think of the road, the broad road that leads to perdition. You ask yourself, this way of falsehood, this way of misinterpreting the Bible, and this way of going to a religious assembly, but doesn't make any change in your life, where will it lead you? That's when you stop and you think and you say, no, this way is the way of destruction, it's the way of darkness. And that's why Ruth had a personal decision that she will turn from that spiritual darkness, satanic darkness, sinful darkness. I'm coming to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. And I read from verse 18. Acts 26, verse 18. Here the Lord was talking to Paul the Apostle. What Paul the Apostle was to do? Was talking to him as a minister. Was talking to him as an evangelist. It was talking to him that when he goes to talk to people, address people, encourage people, and make them have a decision, here is what was to do. Number one, look at verse 18. Number one, to open their eyes. Well, you understand, Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, was a deeply practical person following after the Lord. In the Old Testament, they didn't use the word Christian because Christ had not come. But they used the word God's people. God's peculiar people. They use the word, those who are called out of darkness into the light of the revelation of God. And Naomi had that change. And the eyes of Ruth had been opened. And she knew, this woman is different. This woman has God's word, God's light, and God's will in her life. Her eyes had been opened. I'm sure your eyes have been opened right now. As you see, there's a way of life. There's the way of death. Your eyes are open. As you see, there is the way of light, and there is the way of darkness. Your eyes are being opened. There is the way of God, capital G, following the only true God, our creator. There is the way of idols. They are not the same. And two parallel lines will never meet. And if you're on this road, the road that leads to destitution, destruction and leads to damnation and doom, you will not end in the eternal life in heaven that Christ came to bring. Because the narrow way and the broad way, they do not cross, they do not meet. You have to stop in the way of darkness, turn around, and then get over to the way of light. And when you do, people will know, because they'll see you. They'll see your appearance. They'll see you. They'll hear your speech. They will know your standing. They will know whether you're still in the old path of darkness or you've come to the new way of light. And Paul the apostle was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's what Naomi had done in the life of Ruth. By example, by exhortation, and by the life that she lived, Ruth had seen that this woman had something that the women of Moab did not have. And so she accepted that because of the exhortation, because of the example, she will turn from darkness to light. And then it says, from the power of Satan unto God. Naomi, the mother-in-law, had revealed whenever they had problem in the house. Well, Ruth knew from where she was coming before she married into that family. Whenever they had any problem, like sickness, they had any problem, like, some affliction attack at home before she got married, in her Moabites situation, they will say, well, why don't you go to Papa so and so, do something on the ground and do some idol, consult some idol, and that's how they live their life. But Ruth had seen all her life, all her time with her husband that had passed on, and with the mother-in-law, there was nothing like that. So she now depended on the power of God. That's why she said, your God will be my God, and your people who know the power of God will be my people. And as you see that Jesus Christ has come, and Jesus Christ has shown us the way of clean power, spiritual power, heavenly power, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, not evil ghost, Holy Ghost, and with power, and he went about doing good, and Jesus never did any evil with that Holy Ghost, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know more than what Ruth knew. What Ruth knew brought her to personal decision that she will follow the way of the Lord. And it says that you turn them from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, that they, the people who turn, may receive forgiveness of sins. And Ruth knew, no way, an idol worshiper, without forsaking the idol, could receive forgiveness. And no man has any power, no priest has any power to forgive sin. No father, no mother has any power to forgive sin, but God only. And because Paul the apostle knew that, by personal experience. He was an injurious person. He was a bad fellow. He was a blasphemer, but he received the grace of God and got forgiveness from the Lord. And now what he had got was going to tell other people. And he understood, Paul understood what forgiveness meant. What does forgiveness mean? Forgiveness for Paul the apostle meant he was a blasphemer. And after he was forgiven, no more blaspheming. He was an injurious person. The Lord, by grace, forgave him. After that forgiveness, there was no more injuring other people's lives. He was a persecutor. After the forgiveness, he did not continue in persecution. The forgiveness came with freedom from sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified, purified, made holy by faith that is in me, not in Paul, in Christ, who was talking to him. And so Ruth made a personal decision, and so Paul made a personal decision. Who will be the next? I said, who will be the next? Say it aloud if you mean it. With all your heart, with all your mind, you understand that this is the beginning, a turning point in our lives. It was the beginning in the life of Ruth, in the life of Paul, and now the revelation is coming to you that for the future to be bright, the revelation is coming to you, and that for your life to have well done at last that pleases God, there must be this personal decision to believe in Christ, turn away from sin, and turn away from every form of spiritual darkness. Tonight, you'll do it in Jesus' name. Look at number two. Number two, we're looking at passionate desire to trample over severe sicknesses. There's a desire. You've gone here, you've gone there, you've gone everywhere, and you've tried your best. We are not blaming you. Nobody can blame you. That's you tried your best, because everybody desires to be free from disease. Even small disease, you know that word disease, if you break that word into dis-ease, disturbs your ease, disturbs your sleep, disturbs your life, and your life cannot be peaceful, at ease, when there's disease, and you are passionate about wanting to clear that off your life. Thank God you came tonight. I said, thank God you came tonight. As you have that desire that you want to be free from every form of disease, the Lord accomplished that in your life today in Jesus' name. I'm looking at Mark chapter 5, reading from verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years. She has been battling with that, and the blood, you know, kept on flowing. And in her place, in her nation, such a woman will not be allowed to mix with other women, other people in the marketplace. It actually isolated her, ostracized her. It was a kind of disease that also limited her in many ways. Diseases hinder people in many, many ways. They want to move, they cannot move, they're lame, they're paralyzed, They want to read, they cannot read, they're blind. They want to hear good things that other people are saying. They can't hear because they are deaf. And they want to work, they cannot, because they are impotent, powerless. They cannot do that. Diseases limit people's lives. And here with this woman, 12 years, she's been limited. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, as she even began to sell some property, because she needed money to cure herself. And then she took this bag of money there. They got all the money, but no healing came. And then they suggested another place. You know, if you go to this other fellow, he will do it. They went there, nothing good happened. But the day she met Jesus, something good happened. And today, as you meet Jesus today, are you looking up here? I'm talking to you, something good will happen in your life. It says that she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. But don't lose hope. You've come to the right place tonight. The Lord will turn your life around. Sicknesses will go away. Diseases will go away. Impotence will go away. Deformity will go away. A miracle is coming your way. Say, a miracle is coming my way. But you have passionate desire that you're going to trample all your sicknesses that come under your feet in Jesus' name. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press, in the crowd, within the multitude behind, and touched his garment. You will touch him by faith. And he will touch you with a healing miracle touch tonight in Jesus' name. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, for she said, what you say to yourself matters. Not just what you say to other people. She heard of Jesus. There's something we call self-talk. I'm talking to myself. Maybe I'm not opening my mouth, but I'm talking to myself. I'm communing with myself. That's what she did. She heard of Jesus. Who opened the eyes of the blind? She heard of Jesus. Who made the lame to walk? She heard of Jesus. Who even raised the dead? She heard of Jesus. Who cleansed the leper? And so she was now talking to herself. If he did that, I even heard that somebody who had been bedridden, impotent, for 38 years, that person Jesus just said, rise up, and he got up. Think about that. Hers was only 12 years. 12 multiplied by 2, 24. 12 multiplied by 3, 36, and then add 2, 38 years. When she had that, if that happened to that man and Jesus healed him, I know my own 12 years, he will heal me. Say it for yourself. He will heal you in Jesus' name. And so she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. He didn't say we. She said, myself, I know that today, this time, I search the time and I locate him. that if I would only touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. What you say, you will have. What do you say concerning your sickness tonight? What do you say concerning your disease tonight? What you say, you are going to have. What I say, I have. Look at verse 29. In verse 29, and straightway the fountain of our blood was dried up. 12 years disease healed instantaneously. Your disease tonight healed tonight instantaneously in Jesus' name. Amen. And she felt in her body, she felt it, she knew it. You will feel it. Amen. You will know it. You will identify that, look, it has happened to me. It has happened to me. And you'll get up and you'll shout, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and we'll rejoice with you in Jesus' name. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Who is touching Jesus tonight? I said, who is touching Jesus tonight? You're healed in Jesus' name. You're made whole in Jesus' name. Sickness will no more be on your head to come under your feet. No more in your tummy will come under your feet. No more at your back will come under your feet in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, behold, I give unto you power. Who is the you here? tell me. I said, who is this you? That's me. I said, that's me. Behold, I give unto you power to tread, to trample on serpents. Good amen. Yeah. And scorpions, another amen. Yeah. And over all the power of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy. Have you heard somebody said he has power to make him sick? That power will trample on it tonight. Another one says he has power to cut your life short. No, not possible. Because you are going to trample on that power tonight. He has power to make you blind. Not possible. Because tonight you'll trample on that power. He has the power to make you lame, that you cannot stand and walk and do anything anymore. Not you. I said not you. Because Christ has the power of God, he wills, the power that makes you whole, and the power to destroy every other power in your life, even tonight, in Jesus' name. Somebody said, since he stepped on something, he felt this sensation after stepping on that thing, and since that time, one leg has been shorter than the other. I cancel that power tonight. Because it says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, somebody help me shout nothing.
Nothing.
Again.
Nothing,
nothing shall by any means hurt you. their incantation will not hurt you anymore. Their curse will not hurt you anymore. And their evil look will not hurt you anymore. And everything they proposed, this will hurt her. This will harm her. And this will destroy her. This will take confidence and trust away from her. From this very moment, even before we pray, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I am healed. I am made whole. Look at verse 20 there. In verse 20, it says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Don't limit your joy to this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written where? In heaven. That's what happens when you have that personal decision and you say, I follow Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I turn away from idol, I turn away from sin, I turn away from drunkenness, I turn away from all that smoking, I turn away from all those secret hidden things you used to do behind the closed door. And you now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then forgiveness comes, salvation comes, and the joy of the Lord in salvation comes upon your life. And then any disease tonight is taken away. Yes. You are healed tonight. Yes. I am healed tonight. Yes. I have a testimony tonight. The Lord confirm it to your life in Jesus' name. Number three now. Number three, profound determination to taste the saving dominion. Profound determination to have this dominion. We're looking at Ruth chapter 3, and I read from verse 10. Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. And he said, this is another personal talking to Ruth, Boaz, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. Ruth had dominion over self. You know, she came to this new country as a lady, a widow, but still young, and she didn't follow poor man, rich man, anybody. She wasn't curious. What do they do in that nightclub? I never saw that before. No curiosity. What do they do under that shed? I see them through the window, how they are bending and coming up. No curiosity. She had dominion over herself, that she wasn't going here and there. She saw other boys and girls on the street, and they were, you know, holding hands, and some of them will even stand at a street corner embracing themselves and kissing themselves and doing what would have been strange to Ruth. But she turned her eyes away. She wasn't following the wrong, evil practices in the land. And everybody knew, you can't trip her, you can't trick her, and you cannot make her to go the way of the simple people in the land. She followed not the young, the old, the poor, the rich, the professional, the educated, and the stars in the land. she had dominion. That's what salvation does for us. When you have salvation, a real salvation, a definite salvation, you hear what other people do. You might see what other people do, but you're not curious. How do they do that? How do they practice that? What did they sow that? What did they get that? You don't have that because you have dominion. The people who say, I'm a church member, I go to church, I even go to, you know, the church they call deeper, higher, greater, greater Light Bible Church. That's the one I go. But looking at what the worldly people are doing, they don't have definite experience of salvation. They come to church, they go to church, they go here and there. They don't have dominion. But Ruth had dominion. Tonight, I call you to dominion. I call you to live in a conquering life. That nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ that is strengthening us. You have that dominion tonight in Jesus' name. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou request. And then it says, for all the city of my people doth know. All the people in the city, they know that thou art a virtuous woman. The new rule, they will know you from today. That you don't mess around, you don't sleep around, you don't do what they do, you don't drink what they drink, and nobody can cajole you or force you to do anything that the people of the world are doing. Tonight, dominion has come for you. Amen, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 11. In verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. A dead man is not enticed by alcohol. Even though he might have been drinking before, but now he's dead. And you can put that alcohol there, the one he used to drink. The man is dead, dead to alcohol. A person who is dead is not interested in tobacco. You know, I didn't want to smoke, but you know, somebody was smoking, and once I had the smell, I sensed the smell, I was kind of pulled down. You can't pull a dead man down to have tobacco, marijuana, or hard drugs. You know, I didn't want to go into immorality, but you know, that fellow just came and held my hand and did this and that, and then before I knew what, I'd gone back into the old evil of adultery and fornication. You can't draw a dead man to that. Hold his hand. He will not say, oh, I was dead, but I'll do this and go back and die again. No, a dead man does not have any desire to get all those things done. You know, a dead man, before he died, he was a fighter. He'll fight anywhere, on the street, by the gutter, in the house, anywhere. But now the man is dead. And you know, after he died, somebody came to the house and started shouting and shouting, but the man was dead. And if it had been when he was alive, he'll pick up the quarrel again. But you know, if that man rose up from there and said, what did you say? I'll knock your teeth out. That man was not dead. When you are dead, fighting will stop in your life. Give me a good amen. It says, likewise, reckon ye yourselves also dead to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Make it personal. Sin, say it aloud. All those sins of the past, they'll not have dominion over your life anymore in Jesus' name. Number one is the personal decision. Number two is the passionate desire. And number three is the profound determination. The time has now come for everyone to start in a very good way, that you have this personal decision. I'll plead with you. Let Christ come to your heart today. Let Christ turn your life around today. And if you happen to know that you actually have not been living the life of the Christian, you're still in private, secret sin, the love of God is coming to you now. He wants to give you a turning point that will turn your life around and will determine and change your destiny. But if he wants to do that, and then you get up and you go to bathroom, you go here, you go there, and the time he wants to do that, you neglect him, he stands at the door and he's knocking. And if anyone will hear his voice and open the door, Christ is ready now to come to you and give you a personal turning point that will determine your destiny. And let's say, for example, you have assignment and you have been told, do this, do this, do that. It's good to carry out assignment, but when Christ wants to personally turn you around, forgive your sin, save your soul, write your name in the book of life, that's not the time to be busy with assignment here and there. Give your heart to the Lord. Let this day be the day of your personal decision, that you have a turning around and salvation is now yours. It's mine. I said it's mine. Say it very well. The Lord confirm that in every life in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll close our eyes so that we can shut off all distractions around us and just center, concentrate on God and God alone. He sees your heart. He knows your desire. He wants to save you. He wants to turn your life around. And he wants to make this moment the moment of personal decision for a turning around that will change and determine your destiny. Heads bowed, eyes closed. you want to give your life to the Lord, you know, Ruth voiced it out and said, I will follow. Personal decision. It's your turn. It's your turn. And I cannot begin to tell you the great advantage of what came to Ruth. This is your time. You raise up your hand. Upper might have gone back. A friend may not be interested in this. A fellow who is just like you, a colleague, may say, I just came, but you, the Lord, has spoken to you. And you want to have this change. Turning around, your eyes have been opened. You're turning from darkness to light. You're turning from sin to the Savior. You're giving your heart unreservedly, wholeheartedly unto Christ, so that he'll give you new life, eternal life, everlasting life. You raise up your hand. God bless you there. I say, God bless you there. And as you are raising up your hand, you'll stand up. You see, I've made up my mind. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. No turning back. Friends may forsake, yet no turning back. No turning back. I'm coming out of darkness, out of evil, out of occultism, out of the gang, out of those drugs, hard drugs. I'm coming out. Coming out of that sinful, evil, secret society. I come out. Tell the Lord, you raise up your hand, now you stand up. Stand up, stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross, stand up and say, Lord, here am I. Look at your life. If you're a backslider, you need forgiveness. You need to repent and be forgiven. If you have gone the way of the world, you need to remember where you are falling. Stand up and say, Lord, here am I. I messed up my life. I messed up my body. Here I come. Tell the Lord. And when you come sincerely, and you come without hiding anything from God, you come without wondering, does that one know, does that one know? But you make this day a turning point decision. Say, Lord, I surrender. I give myself completely, unreservedly unto you. He will have mercy on you. He'll forgive you. He'll change your life. What you used to do, you will not do anymore. And sin will no longer have dominion over you. We're going to pray together now. You raised up your hand and you are standing up. We're praying now. Concentrate. Have your eyes closed. Nobody distracting your attention. And make this a permanent decision. Not coming and going, coming into sin, going out of sin, falling, rising. No. Permanent. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for the calling you have given everyone. And thank you for those who have taken a real personal decision. We're asking, Lord, as they have asked you, with sorrow, of heart for their sin, and they have repented. Lord, I pray you forgive them in Jesus' name. Give them your salvation. Give them your forgiveness. Give them the new life and the grace to now continue to live in righteousness in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that the decision they have taken to follow Christ will be a permanent decision, that they will not go back into their vomit anymore in Jesus' name. Grant them, Lord, the passionate desire to remain in Christ and the profound, deep determination that sin will no longer have dominion over them in Jesus' name. Confirm your salvation in them with the witness of the Holy Spirit. Confirm it with the joy of salvation. Confirm it with peace in their justification. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the whole church say, thank you very much. Please keep on standing in. Our counselors are there, and they will give you the decision slip. And you fill in everything correctly, honestly, truthfully. After that, we'll now come back and pray for the people who need miracle healing or miracle deliverance. God bless you all.
Say amen. The pastor prayed for you and said, God bless you all. Say amen. Thank you for the wonderful decision you've taken to experience turning point in your life. Now that you have decided to abandon sin and surrender your life to Christ, you won't tell lies as the counselors come to you. You tell them the truth about your life. The information they are asking for is to assist you, to help you, encourage you, give you materials that will enable you to stand firm and grow in the Lord. So feel free to supply the information they are asking for. Your full names, your address, your telephone numbers, just to enable you grow as a Christian. So if the counselors have not come to you, you raise your hand, beckon on them, and said, nobody has written my name. Nobody has collected my data. I've made up my mind, like Ruth, to serve the living God. If you are watching online and you gave your life to Christ after the pastor's message this evening, there is a link, gckhq.org/connect, below your player. Click it and fill the form so we can assist you further in your new walk with Christ. Also, if you are listening via radio or television and you just gave your life to Christ, send your name, phone number, and your location, that's address, via SMS or WhatsApp to this number. You can write it down if you are listening via radio or television, +234 91 54 44 92 63. I go through it again. +234 91 054-449263. For those who gave their life to Christ here, as they are taking your data, please pay attention. There will be a special meeting tagged Lunch Hour with Jesus. For all those who gave their life to Jesus. And the program will be tomorrow by 3 p.m. The program will be at the White House. There is a hall in the White House. After this building, there's another building. They call it White House. It's painted white. So that program will be there. Please ensure you are there to have fellowship with the Lord and with all those who gave their life to Christ. It's to enable you grow and stand and be an overcomer so that Satan will not be conquering you, defeating you, and making a mess of your life. Counselors, please, let's still move around. Make sure the telephone numbers you are collecting have 11 digits. Go through what I've supplied and make sure you write legibly, especially in capital letters. As they are supplying their names, if they have a popular name or a nickname they are called, like Mama Bomboy, put it there. Or Mama John, put it there. Or Papa John, put it there. Or whatever name they are being called, popular name, get it so as to help them grow. Counselors, you are doing a good job. Once you are through with one, move to the next person. This is not a time to preach. It's just a time to collect the vital information that will help us encourage them grow. Give them materials that will enable them stand. I want to know from the right hand side if counselors are true. You wave your hand. I can see some counselors still walking towards the back and at the middle. Please, let's be up and doing and ensure that nobody is left behind. And go through what you have written and make sure that the information is correct. Let me say it again. If you are watching online and you gave your life to Christ after the pastor's message this evening, there is a link, gckhq.org/connect, below your player. Click it and fill the form so we can assist you further in your new walk with Christ. Also, if you are listening via the radio or television and you just gave your life to Christ, send your name, your phone number, and your location address via SMS or WhatsApp to this number, +234-9154-449263. I repeat, there will be a special meeting, Lunch Hour with Jesus, for all those who gave their life to Jesus. And the lunch hour will be tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the White House after this children's church. The next building is the White House. Counselors, to my right, if you are true, can you wave your hand, please? Counselors. Okay, God bless you. Center, if you are true, can you wave your hand? Counselors. Okay, God bless you. To my left, if you are true, can you please wave your hand? All right, God bless you. Then to my left, back, far back, counselors, if you are true, can you wave your hand? Left, back. I can't see any hand. Okay, thank you. Right, back. The far back. If you are true, can you wave your hand? Counselors. If you are true, can you wave your hand, please? All right. Thank you. God bless you. We are going to rise because a pastor is ready to pray. As you rise, you open your mouth, get ready for your miracle, and tell God what you want the Lord to do for you.
Amen. I am ready for my miracle. The Lord will meet you at your point of need right there. You identify the problem, you raise up one hand, and you lay the other hand, if you can, on the location of the problem. Wherever you are, whoever you are, there's a healing miracle coming to you right now. And when we say that final amen, check up, the miracle would have settled right there in your body. Here, the Alpha location, many miracles are taking place online. Whether you're in a congregation or by yourself, your miracle is coming your way. We're ready now. Lay your hand where you have the challenge and raise up the other hand. God loves you. He will not pass you by. Father, we thank you because you are a loving God, as well as a mighty, powerful God. With you, all things are possible. And you've called us to a turning point in our lives. And all the sicknesses that have been in our body will now be transferred under our feet. We'll tread on them. We'll trample on them. And Lord, at your command, in the name of Jesus, sickness, come out in Jesus' name. I pray as you touch the Lord by faith, the Lord is touching you right now. He's healing you right now. Problem in the head, the eyes, the ears, the throat, in the tummy, in your blood, in your bone, in your joints, I command, come out in Jesus' name. Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Ghost, you have not changed. Your power has not changed. Manifest your power. Demonstrate your power. Show your love to your people, everyone without exception, in Jesus' name. Do it, Lord. You have given the victory, the dominion over every sickness and disease we have received. I have received. Say that. I have received. Be it confirmed in your life in Jesus' name. Every demonic power, satanic power, satanic affliction, I cancel from your life. You are healed. You are delivered. The Lord has set you free. Lord, let there be confirmation everywhere. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You've got it. Check yourself. Your miracle is right there.